Verses 1 to 8, so just 8 verses to share with you today in James chapter 1. James chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Today we're going to talk about choosing our words carefully. And if there was ever a time in our country's history or in our church's life that we needed to be able to speak some words of encouragement, some words of blessing, some words of praise, some words of encouragement, it is definitely now. And so today the message is going to be entitled Potion or Poison. How is God using your words? The things you say, the things that come out of our mouths, is He using it as a potion, a healing balm, or is He using it, or maybe is the enemy rather, might be using it as poison to bring people down, to discourage people? How many of you know that the world needs to hear some words of encouragement today, some words of hope? And so I hope that God will use my words today to encourage you, to encourage your heart, to strengthen your faith. And I hope He'll use each of us, wherever we are, to use our words as healing and encouragement instead of the alternative. Before we look at the verses today, let me just give you some examples. We're talking about either potion or poison. Let's start with the bad. Let's start with the ways that sometimes we allow the enemy to use our words as poison. Let me give you some examples. Maybe some of you have heard these things. I hope not, but you probably have. How about some examples like, you will never amount to anything? Anybody ever hear that before? Probably you have. How about, you always do that, or you always say that? How about, you are so, and you just fill in the blank with whatever negative comes to your mind. I can't say too much because my grandkids find me every time I say an ugly word. Maybe you got grandkids that do that to you. So we'll just fill in the blank today. You are so, or how about this one? I don't like you, or I don't love you. Those words hurt, don't they? When we hear people say those, those aren't the kind of words that we want to allow the enemy to bring out of our mouth. Now on to the better ones. How about this one? I don't know how many times I've heard my mom and dad tell me this when I was growing up. And you know, I was just silly enough to believe it. Here's what they told me. They said, you can do anything you put your mind to. I like that. I live by those words. Of course, with God's help. How about this one? Jesus loves you. Or I am with you. Or how about this one? You are so special. Or to make it a little more personal for our family, especially with our son Jake, how about, you are so precious? All right, that's kind of an inside joke for our family. How about just somebody coming up beside you and saying, it's going to be okay, or we're going to get through this together? You know, those are encouraging words, and that's the kind of words that God wants to use, especially today. Let's look at these verses today. James chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. I hope you'll be able to follow along in your Bibles wherever you are today. James chapter 3, verse 1. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person and sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Verse 7, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But look at verse 8, and we'll explain it in a minute. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil filled with deadly poison. Let's go to the Lord briefly in prayer one more time. Dear Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you bless us with the ability to speak messages of joy and peace and love and encouragement. And pray, Lord, that each and every one of us, wherever we are today, would surrender ourselves to you so that you can use our mouths to bring you the glory that you deserve. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we think about potion or poison today, the first thing I'd like to look at with you today, it is a great calling that we have from God to influence people. A great calling to influence. And so because it's such a great calling, let us not take this responsibility lightly. Don't take the use and the ability we have to influence lives for granted. Let's not take this responsibility for lightly. The role of a teacher is important work. It's a great responsibility that we have to shape and to mold and to influence lives. And by the way, today, how many of you know there's a lot more teachers than there was in past months? Because a lot of you are homeschooling your children or your grandchildren, and it's an important job. It's an important function because we're training them up so that they can be knowledgeable in all kinds of skills like math and science and English. So it's an important job. It's an important responsibility. The goal is to lead in the right direction, to strengthen faith, and hopefully to build a solid foundation, something that we can pour into them so that they'll be able to have a strong and a fervent faith. We are warned that teachers will be judged more strictly. Think about it. People look up to teachers, don't they? They're in the spotlight. And it's important that they guard their testimony. Now keep in mind, all teachers are important, but James is primarily talking about Christian teachers, Christian leaders, Sunday school teachers, and of course moms and dads who are the very first Sunday school teachers for their families. The bar is set high, especially for Christian teachers, to be a good example and a good role model. Recently, Barb and I were watching a program on TV, and it was a music program. And one of the contestants on this program, it was one of those real life shows, one of the contestants we found out actually was a pastor. I'm not sure what denomination or what church or even where he's from. But we were so excited that a pastor got into the finale, or not the finale, but got up there in the competition. And then we heard him start speaking. And you know what? His mouth wasn't saying what we thought a pastor should be talking about and the way a pastor should be talking. And all of a sudden, instead of rooting him on, all of a sudden we said, well, you know, the bar should be set higher for him because he's representing Christ. But you know, that's not good when we see stuff like that, because our testimony is so important, especially for those that are teachers, those that are leaders, especially Christians. We've got to be careful about the way that our tongue is used. Don't take the responsibility lightly. Look at letter B on your outlines. Don't be too hard on yourself. Don't be too hard on yourself. God remembers that we all stumble in different ways. In fact, in Psalm 78 and Psalm 103, God remembers that we are but flesh, that we are made literally from dust in the ground. He remembers that, and I, for one, am thankful that he remembers that we're not perfect. We all fall short. So don't be too hard on yourself if, as you think about the things maybe you said, maybe this morning, maybe during the week, maybe yesterday, maybe in your past. You know, we've all made mistakes. We've all allowed the enemy to use this tongue in a way that wasn't good. The tongue is one of the body parts that can get us in the most trouble. I don't know if you caught it in verse 2, but it says if we're able to tame the tongue, then literally it's a sign that we are a mature believer. A sign of maturity is not just letting those words fly and saying what we always want to say, but when we can put a governor on our tongue and we can only use it for God's glory and honor, that is a sign that you are a mature Christian, a mature believer. It's one of the body parts that can get us in the most trouble. I remember lots of family meals when I was little that I would end up standing in the corner. And you know why? It's because, believe it or not, this tongue got me in trouble when I was a kid. I was always back talk, or I would try to say something funny or something smart because I was the youngest in the family. And as soon as my mom or dad heard it, Bobby would end up in the corner. And so I spent lots of meals. I know some, you know, it's hard to believe that today, right? But some of you who know me well know that my tongue still gets me in trouble on occasion. But a sign of maturity, the word is actually teleos, is being able to guard our words. It shows that God has done a work in our lives. Let me share a couple of verses, what it says about how important our words are. Proverbs 10, verse 11. The mouth of the righteous, look at this, is a fountain of life. Isn't that good? Don't you want your words to be a fountain of life for the world? What about Matthew 12, 34? Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, when God changes our heart, you know what happens? He changes our mouth too. That's what happened in my life, by the way. God does a work in our hearts, and the overflow of our mouth is what speaks, the overflow of our heart. It's a great calling to influence. Number two, there are great consequences possible. There's great consequences possible when we use our words right. Letter A, our tongues are able to tame the passionate, or able to tame the wild, able to tame the wild. It emphasizes here in these next two verses, verses 3 and 4, how powerful the tongue is and how powerful our words can be. It describes it first. The first example he uses in verse 3, he says it's similar to the bit in a horse's mouth. Now, you all know what a bit is, don't you? It's like that little bar that they put into a horse's mouth with a rein on each side of it. And as the jockey or the person riding the horse, as they pull that bit, they can literally control the whole horse. Now, the point that James is making here, if we think about how much one of those little bars weighs, maybe 8 to 10 ounces, something like that. And a horse can weigh 1,000 pounds or more in some cases. Think about it. That little tool that's less than a pound can control 1,000-pound animal, 1,000-pound wild, powerful animal like a horse. A horse can pull 3 times their weight. Earlier when I was looking this up today, and it took me to YouTube, and they actually had 18 guys on a tug-of-war team. It was kind of comical, and they attached the 18 guys under a rope onto the back of a horse, and they said, we're going to have a competition, 18 men against one horse. Well, you want to guess who won? It was the horse. The horse just dragged that tug-of-war team across the field. It wasn't even a competition. We know the term, and many of you have heard it, horsepower. James Watt is the one who actually came up with this term. It's because horses are powerful animals. Even Scripture talks about how powerful a horse is. They're known for their power and strength. But a little tiny bit, less than a pound, can control this wild animal. That's how powerful our words are. Not only can tame the wild, but letter B on your outlines, able to turn the powerful. Able to turn the powerful. The next example that we see in verse 4, it describes the tongue as being powerful enough to be like the rudder on a powerful ship. Now, a ship is driven by strong winds, yes, but the rudder is what steers the ship. When they turn the rudder, the bow of the ship or the stern of the ship will turn, and the bow will turn the opposite direction. So as they turn the rudder, the pilot can maneuver that ship any place he wants to bring it. The words have the amazing ability to inspire, to encourage, to guide, to build up, to change, to comfort, to exhort, even to set forth a clear vision. Let me mention just real briefly, I don't have a lot of time this morning with you, but you know, throughout even America's history, there have been speeches that come to our mind that God used in amazing, powerful ways, really to shape a whole nation. Let me bring up a couple of them. Now, think with me for a minute. Think about some of the most powerful speeches that you've ever heard or ever seen in your history books. The first one that comes to my mind is, what about the Gettysburg Address that Lincoln spoke on November 19th, 1863? Let me share a couple of words with you. You know these words well. 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. The Gettysburg Address in 1863. Here's another one that probably came to your mind when you think about the greatest speeches ever made. What about Martin Luther King Jr.? I Have a Dream. This was actually on August 28, 1963, a very turbulent time in our nation's history. 250,000 people watched this from the Lincoln Memorial as Martin Luther King Jr. spoke. Here's a couple of the words he said in that speech. Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. In the process of gaining our rightful place, we must not be guilty of wrongful deeds. Let us not seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred. Boy, what powerful words the I Have a Dream speech was. And then one last one for you today. This was from John F. Kennedy. The Moon Speech, September 12, 1962. Let me share a couple of these words for you. But why, some say, the moon? Why choose this as our goal? They may well ask, why climb the highest mountain? Why 35 years ago, why fly the Atlantic? We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are, should I say it like John F. K.? Because they are hard. All right. Those are some powerful words, aren't they? By the way, I just wanted to do that moon speech for a long time, and so you heard it today. But I'll tell you what, those are some powerful words in human history, aren't they? Some powerful words for our country. When they proclaimed those words, I mean, it impacted generations of people. Those words are still impacting our lives today as we speak. How many of you know the tongue can proclaim powerful words to encourage, to exhort, really to change the whole course of human history? Now, those are just men's words. What about the Word of God? What about the Sermon on the Mount? What about the Lord's Prayer? What about the 23rd Psalm? How many of you know that this book is filled with words that are supposed to be shaping our lives? And when the word of God goes forth, as it says in Isaiah 55:11, so is my word that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish my purpose and the reason for which I sent it. So far, we've talked about two things: the great calling to influence, the great consequences that are possible if we allow God to use our words in the right way. Number three, great caution must be used. Great caution must be used. This is verses 5 and 6. First of all, don't let the size fool you. Now, I've actually got something. I was a little hesitant about doing this. This is the size of a tongue. I don't know if yours is bigger or smaller, but when you think of it, pretty small compared to the whole body, isn't it? It's just a very small, this is just Play-Doh. Don't worry, it's not a real tongue, all right? Don't want to scare anybody today, but it's a pretty small part of the human body. But how many of you know it's powerful? Because it can shape, it can change people's lives. It can impact the world that we live in. It can speak volumes. That little tiny vessel can boast, can brag, can lie, can exaggerate, right, fishermen? It can exaggerate. It can deceive. In fact, sometimes that little tiny tool in our mouths, sometimes our mouths can write checks that our body can't even cash. Because you know what? The tongue, my tongue on occasion, likes to exaggerate. Sometimes my tongue likes to say things that I think people want to hear instead of what people need to hear. Has that ever happened to you? Sometimes we can deceive, sometimes we can brag, sometimes we can boast. Where does it all come from? It all comes from that little tongue that's in our mouths, which flows out of the heart that's in us. When our ego is in control, our mouths lead the way. When our ego is on the throne of our lives, the mouth sure does like it, because it gets to brag, it gets to boast, it gets to do all those things that we're talking about today. Think about it this way. How many arguments get started with one ugly word? You say something to somebody, maybe something careless, something that you didn't really think about before you said it, and what happens? It just balloons and grows into something terrible. One ugly word can start fights, broken friendships, family problems, even violence. How many of the things that we hear about on the news do you think started with one word that wasn't carefully spoken? The Bible refers to the tongue. Sometimes it's like one little spark. 90% of forest fires are started by people. Sometimes careless actions that we do. That means only 10% of them are started by natural causes. In 2019, get this, 50,000 fires were in the United States. 50,000 fires. The land area that was burned up in 2019 was over 5 million acres. Now, I wanted to kind of find out, well, how much is 5 million acres? Roughly, it's about the size of Massachusetts. That's a large area of land that was burned up because people were careless. People were foolish. And the same thing can happen when we don't make sure that our words are under the control of the Holy Spirit. Don't let the size fool you. The tongue can cause a lot of damage. Look at letter B. Don't play with fire. Don't play with fire. A controlled fire is wonderful. Now, I don't know about you, but I like my food cooked, right? We all like our food cooked. If it wasn't for fire being controlled and being usable, then we would have a hard time eating cooked food. What about heat? On those cold nights, we all like heat. You say, well, where does the heat come from? Fire is a part of that source. What about light? Light is a wonderful way that fire can be used. Even our car engines and stuff, they run on sparks, which you might say would be an example of a controlled fire, a controlled flame. So controlled fire is wonderful. It's a blessing. We're thankful for it. Now let's look at the alternative. What about uncontrolled fire? What about when that little spark or that little fire gets out of the fire pit and just is allowed to run wild? That sometimes is what happens with our words. One uncontrolled word comes out of our mouth. Out of controlled fire causes damage and destruction. It's a world of evil. In verse 6, it tells us this. A world of evil, lies. What about this one? Gossip. That juicy gossip that we love to tell people. You know what? Sometimes we just need to hold that tongue with two hands and make sure we're not people that spread ugly lies and things that aren't good. Insults. It can corrupt the whole person. In fact, the sometimes a word spoken rashly can ruin the whole course of somebody's life. Maybe in the past some of you have lost jobs because you've allowed the tongue to say something that maybe you shouldn't have said. Sometimes it can ruin our testimonies. I shared an example earlier with you today. Sometimes when we don't choose our words carefully, it can ruin our testimonies. And sometimes it can break friendships. Sometimes when our tongue is controlled by evil, we can get into a lot of trouble. Now here's a question for you. Keep in mind, we've mostly been talking about all the trouble that the tongue can get us into. If my tongue is that bad, if it's that bad, if it's that full of evil, why don't we just get rid of it? Why don't we just cut it out and be mute? Well, here's the reason, church. Here's the reason, friends. Because when our words are governed by God, they can be beautiful. When we allow our tongue to be under the influence of the enemy, then we can get into a lot of trouble. But the same way, sometimes when we allow our tongue to be controlled by God, then God can do amazing things in and through our words. He uses our words to bring Himself much glory. We talked about the great calling. We talked about the great consequences. We talked about the great caution. And finally, number 4, the great control that is needed. The great control that is needed. Letter A, controlling our tongues is much more than a circus act. It's much more than a circus act. Humanity has many amazing examples of taming the wild. It mentions animals. You could probably think of some of the animals that have been tamed for many generations. Cows, goats, sheep, horses, pigs, dogs, cats, even rabbits, all kinds of animals. What about birds? Parakeet, pigeon, parrot, all kinds of birds. Some of the ones that they say are tamed, you kind of stick your finger in the cage and you might find out otherwise, all right? I'm thinking about my brother-in-law Paul for this one. But birds can be tamed. What about reptiles, turtles, lizards? I don't know about snakes. I'm not sure you can tame a snake. And what about sea creatures, dolphins, even killer whales? All right, humanity has many examples of taming the wild. Over time, with hard work, people can remove the natural tendencies of these wild animals and instead remove the natural tendency of fear and replace it with trust and loyalty. Christian, guess what God wants to do in your life and my life? He wants to remove my natural tendency to say things that are going to get me in trouble. And instead, he wants the Holy Spirit to work in my heart to put a governor on that tongue so that instead of using it to get people in trouble or to get myself in trouble, instead he wants to use it to be a blessing. That's exactly what he wants to do. And the only one who can tame our tongues is the Holy Spirit himself. He wants to tame our tongues. Much more than a circus act, finally let her be. We must master. Master must transform our hearts. The master, meaning God, must transform our hearts. We have tamed lions and tigers and bears, yes. But the Bible says, but our own tongues, no man has been able to tame their own tongue in their own strength by themselves. You say, well, what can we do? How can we tame our tongues? Here's the core of the message today. We can't do it in our own strength. It's only as we surrender our lives to God, as we ask God for help, as we ask Him to guide our words, to guide our speech, to use our words to bring Him glory, that's the only way we're going to be able to tame this beast that's in our mouths. We must ask God for help. The truth is, we need a new heart. We need a heart transplant. And it comes when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit comes in and changes us from the outside out. And it says that when He changes our heart, He's going to change our speech. Here's a couple of real practical things that you can do and I can do before we utter a single word. First, we can pray before we speak. Sometimes we just need to think before we speak. Sometimes we just shouldn't speak. Just don't say a thing sometimes. Sometimes it's better to just walk away than to allow our tongues to get us in trouble. But the most important thing we need to do is surrender our lives to God's control. That's really what we need to do. We need help from God. We need a new heart. We need to let the Holy Spirit fill our hearts with praise. A couple of verses to share and then we'll be finished today. Matthew 12:34. It says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. You want your words to bring glory to God? Let God change your heart. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. I know that's what we all want, isn't it? We all want that. God will help us to do that. One last one. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth. That's my prayer, and I hope it's your prayer as well. Give your heart to Jesus, and He will give you a brand new tongue. Not one that causes problems, but one that brings Him glory. Three things as we have a time of invitation today. First of all, words are powerful. Words are powerful. They can cause great damage or they can be great blessing. Today, more than ever, people need to hear words of hope. They need to hear words of love. They need to hear words of encouragement and support. Wouldn't it be nice if every Christian within the sound of my voice today would allow God to use our tongues to be an encouragement and hope and speak a message, a positive message of love and support. Who can you encourage today with your tongue? Number two, we all fall short. It could be that our tongues have been poisoned in the past. It could be that as we've talked about this message, you can think of people that maybe the enemy has allowed words to come out of your mouth that you know weren't good. Aren't you glad that God loves to help us to make fresh starts? Maybe today you just need to bow your head wherever you are and pray that God would not only forgive us, but also give us opportunities to make recompense, to say we're sorry, and to use our words to build somebody up and encourage us. And then thirdly, the new language of love starts with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you want God to revolutionize your language, to give you a language of love, a brand new language of love, it starts with surrendering your life to Jesus Christ, to saying, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me on the cross of Calvary. Won't you forgive me and come into my life? Change me from the inside out. Give me a new heart and give me new words of encouragement and blessing to speak to the broken world we live in. Maybe that's your desire today. God wants to do a great work in our lives. Let Him use this tool to bring Him the blessing and the glory that He deserves. Let's worship Him with our tongues. Won't you join me in a word of prayer before we have a song of invitation today? Let's bow. Dear Father, we thank You so much for the great and mighty God You are. We're so thankful, Lord, today that we could talk about our tongues and our words. And Lord, I know it is all of our desires today, wherever we are, that You would use our tongues and our words to bring You glory, to bring You praise, to worship You, Lord, and to serve You the way that You deserve. We know, Lord, we live in a broken world today, and there are so many people that need to hear words of hope, words of encouragement, words of praise. We pray, Lord, that You would use our tongues in that way. And Father, if there be one within the sound of my voice today that needs to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, Lord, let today be the day of salvation. Help somebody to come and say, I want to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Lord, forgive me. Come into my life and help me to live for You from this day forward. I'm sorry for all my sins. From this day forward,